Well, our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Hear now God's holy word. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do again thank you for this blessed opportunity we have to come and worship you together. Lord, we ask this morning that your word would be proclaimed. We ask that Christ would be glorified and exalted. Lord, we ask that you would use your word to sanctify your people. And Lord, if there are any here this morning that do not know you, we do ask that you would work salvifically in their hearts. And Lord, we ask especially that you would guide my mind and my mouth, and that I would only preach your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us here this morning know and understand in a very real way that life is often filled with struggle and hardship and suffering. And if you haven't struggled personally with this type of hardship in your own life, perhaps you know someone who has. Some here this morning may have had to watch as two loved ones go through a difficult divorce, a divorce that maybe rips the family apart. Others may have had to stand by and watch as someone they love deeply falls deeper and deeper into an addiction. As Pastor Dean mentioned, this past week, our country's gone through a great level of turmoil as a man was shot and then a number of police officers were killed. The city of Seattle is nervous this week because there are some that have been calling for more snipers to kill more police officers in Seattle. And during these times of distress, during these times of trial and suffering, sometimes we feel like the weight is much too great to bear. Sometimes we feel a sweeping emptiness and we try to fill it by looking to all the wrong places. And so I ask you this morning, where do you go? Where do you turn during your times of trial, during your times of suffering? Where do you turn when you're going through a time of distress? Well, this morning the Lord tells us where we should turn in our times of trial and distress. The Lord tells us to hear the tender comforts of Jesus. Hear the tender comforts of Jesus. Now, in order to really understand what's taking place in our passage this morning, we need to understand what the nation of Israel was going through during the period of time when Isaiah penned this book. See, during the time of King Solomon, Israel was divided into two parts. There was the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And in 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians. And those that survived this conquer were cast into exile in Assyria. And then later in 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah, including Jerusalem, was overtaken by Babylon. And those that survived were cast into exile in Babylon. And in their exile, they were suffering greatly. They were being persecuted by those around them. And in this is the context of our passage this morning. You see, the Israelites were suffering greatly under persecution. But something we need to understand here is that Israel, in this situation in Babylon, they were cast into Babylon by God himself. They were cast into Babylon as a consequence for their sin. You see, the people of Israel had begun to worship false gods. The religious and political leaders of the day were open to bribe. widows and orphans, they were being defrauded of their land. See, when the widow's husband would die and she had this inheritance, it was being defrauded. People were finding legal ways to steal the land of the widows and the orphans. People were plotting evil within their hearts. And they even declared that what they were doing was done in the name of God. And so God cast them into exile. And in their exile, they were suffering. They were mourning. And the prophets often liken the mourning that the people were feeling, they liken it to a woman giving labor, a woman giving birth in labor. And this is the context where we find the people of God this morning. You see, they were mourning, they were suffering. You see, God brings his people comfort here. God brings them comfort. Please look at verses 1 and 2 with me. 1 and 2a. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended. Now, I want you to notice here that God is speaking tenderly to his people. You know, 2 weeks ago when Dean was preaching on anxiety, Dean talked about when Jesus says, do not worry. He's not shouting at the people and commanding. He's speaking tenderly to them. Don't worry, I'm here. Well, the people of God are suffering in our text this morning, and God is bringing them sweet comfort. He's speaking tenderly to them. As we know, they're in a time of distress. And God is using the imagery of his people being knee-deep in a war to describe the comfort that he'll bring. He's bringing them great comfort in the future. And it's in this declaration of comfort that the Lord intends to stir up the hearts of his people so that they would not faint under their present calamity. Now, the Hebrew sense of the word comfort here is really, it's a turning away from that which brings suffering. See, God isn't simply consoling his people. He isn't saying, there. See, the word here, it's active. God is actively removing that which brings discomfort. God was promising to turn their mourning to joy. God was speaking to the very hearts of his people. For Israel, in this occasion, it meant forgiveness. It meant an eventual return home. It meant restoration. Can you imagine the great comfort that would have been if you were in exile out in captivity, and the God of the universe told you that he would comfort you and he would one day bring restoration? Like a soldier being discharged after a time of war, the Israelite people were being discharged from their present calamity in Babylon. Like the Israelites, there may be times in your life when you feel like you're out in Babylon. And for those of us that are believers, that certainly was the case. There was a time when we all were out in Babylon. See, as a descendant of Adam, we were all born dead in our sin. That is to say that we were all born sinners. We all were born separated from God. We were born with a desire to lie, with a desire to cheat, with a desire to steal. And the emptiness that we felt, the comfort that we were lacking, could only be remedied by Jesus Christ. The full weight of our sin and bondage could not be remedied by ourselves. It could only be remedied by Jesus Christ, the true comforter. See, apart from Christ, there is no true comfort. Apart from Christ, there is no salvation. Now, as believers, there may be times when we, as believers, feel like perhaps we're out in Babylon. Maybe there have been times when we've fallen into a particular pattern of sin. Maybe there's a particular sin in our life that we just can't seem to beat. But it's in those times that we must lay those sins at the foot of the cross and asked Christ for forgiveness. But the good news, brothers and sisters, is that Christ freely offers forgiveness and divine comfort if you come before him in repentance and ask for forgiveness of your sins. You see, if you come before Christ in repentance, he will offer you gospel comfort by forgiving you and offering you divine pardon. Please look at verses 2 and 3 with me. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now again, for Israel, this this proclamation would have brought sweet, sweet comfort to them. Remember, they'd been cast into exile as a consequence for their sinfulness. And again, they had committed grievous sins against God. But in His mercy, God chose to not deal harshly with His people. See, God had every right to inflict His divine hand of judgment upon them, but He didn't. The Lord tenderly speaks words of comfort, and He offers them the greatest comfort possible. He tells them that their warfare has ended, that their sins have been forgiven. God, the great physician, heals their affliction that ails the people by offering them divine pardon through their repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. See, they didn't receive retribution or judgment for their sin. As Isaiah put it, they received double for their sin. And what that means is what they deserved in wrath, God gave them twofold in grace or mercy. The wrath that was to come upon them, God gave them twofold of that in His mercy and in His grace. God, as a loving Father, forgave His people. He gave them what they didn't deserve. He gave them mercy and grace. And He offers us that mercy and grace today. See, their sins had been paid for and their deliverance was coming. But this was not the result of what they had done. They couldn't save themselves. They couldn't offer themselves forgiveness. Now, this was not the result of what they had done, but the result of what Christ had done, what Christ would do for them. It was the work of God. It was God alone who saved them from their affliction. And it was undeserved, unmerited favor. Now, God had promised that He would come to them, that He would come and He would rescue a people for Himself. But they had to be prepared. God was about to bring them a divine promise. Please look at verses 3 through 5 with me. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So verse 3 here, it begins with the prophet declaring that the people should prepare the way for the Lord. And this is not an insignificant statement. This statement is of the utmost significance. You see, during the period of time when Isaiah penned this book, there weren't roads and highways like there are today. The roads weren't flat, they weren't smooth. There were high points and low points, there were very sharp turns, the road was uneven, there were potholes, and there were many, many places where you could injure yourself if you were traveling by chariot or by carriage. And so when the king would be going somewhere, they would send notice out weeks in advance, and they would notify all of the towns that the king would be coming through. And so the people would run out before the king. They would be preparing the road for him. They would fix potholes. They would widen roads where there were sharp turns. They would raise low places. They would lower high places. And they would do everything they can to prepare the way for their king. And the great privilege that they received in that was that they were able to see the king pass through in his royal splendor. Now, in the historical context of Isaiah, a voice was crying in the wilderness of Babylon, telling the people to prepare the way for the Lord. But this voice crying in the wilderness was not telling them to prepare the way for their earthly king. He was telling the people to prepare the way for their heavenly king, to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to prepare the way for the one who would do much more than just save his people from Babylon. To prepare the way for the one who would save his people from their sin. In the words of John Calvin, the voice crying in the wilderness was telling the people to prepare the way through a change of their hearts. By turning from their sins, but acknowledging that they're but grass, and by acknowledging that the Word of God is the only thing that endures. And though it would certainly take time for this Messiah King to come, He surely would come. and he would surely rescue a people for himself. And friends, God made this promise nearly 700 years before the birth of Christ. But being faithful to his promise, Jesus Christ did come. Jesus Christ left his heavenly throne on high and he came to earth as a man. He was fully man and he was fully God. He took upon himself human flesh. He felt emotions like you and I do. He was tempted like you and I do. He felt the pains of grief when he lost a loved one. When his friend Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Jesus suffered. Jesus mourned over the suffering that was taking place around him. And Jesus was tempted just like you and me. But even in his temptation, he never sinned. See, Jesus lived perfectly, and yet he willingly gave himself over to be crucified. One of the most agonizing deaths possible. And he did all of this for us. He did all of this to save a people for himself. And Jesus took all of the wrath that was stored up for his people. He took all of that wrath upon himself. He took the full weight of the cup of the wrath of God, and he took that upon himself so that we could be saved, so that we could be acquitted. And because of Christ's selfless sacrifice, all those that are in him are no longer declared guilty, but declared righteous. And when God the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. When God the Father looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness imputed to us. He sees Christ's righteousness. Think of it this way. Imagine that you've just committed a grievous crime. Imagine that in a fit of rage, you've murdered someone. And it's videotaped. There's irrefutable evidence. There's DNA evidence. There's really no defense that you can have. The media, they know for sure that you're guilty. The press, they know you're guilty. The judge knows you're guilty. The jury knows you're guilty. The police and prosecutors, they know you're guilty. And you know that everyone knows you're guilty and there's nothing that you can do about it. In this situation, you would be destined for a death sentence. What if someone came and stood in your place? What if someone came and stepped forward and offered to die for you? Offered to take your guilt upon themselves so that you were no longer declared guilty, but declared innocent, acquitted of the crime. And when everyone looked at you after this, they would see an innocent person that had done nothing. This is what Christ has done for all those who profess faith in him. Christ stood in the place of his people and he took their sins upon himself on the cross. And he did this so that everyone who confesses with their mouth that Christ is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead would be saved. And brothers and sisters, Christ made this sacrifice in love. And one of the great benefits that believers in Christ receive is true, unconditional gospel comfort. True, unconditional gospel comfort during the various trials and sufferings of this life. Some of you know that anxiety has been a major struggle in my life, and I've mentioned it from time to time in sermons. For those of you that know me, you know that if I don't have something to worry about, I'll easily find something to worry about. And I think when I was a child, my anxiety was actually much worse. I would find all kinds of ridiculous things to worry about. But I often found comfort in my mother. See, when I was 5 or 6 years old and I was feeling anxious, all I really needed was my mom to tell me that everything was going to be okay, and that anxiety would just sort of dissipate. She would just say, Jordan, it's going to be okay. We're going to work it out, or we'll figure something out. And I would just pretty much immediately feel better because I thought my mom could fix anything. But as you all know, when we get older, we realize that our parents can't fix everything, that our parents aren't sovereign, that our parents cannot bring true comfort. But the good news is that though our earthly parents may not be able to bring about true comfort, the Lord Jesus Christ can. The Lord Jesus Christ brings us eternal comfort through the various trials and storms that we face in this life. And friends, this is a great promise. This is perhaps the greatest promise of all time. That if you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, you will be saved. And one of the benefits we receive is the comfort of God. The comfort of God that He sends through the Holy Spirit as we face the various trials and struggles of this life. So I want to ask you a hard question this morning. Where do you stand with God? Now I know many here are believers in Christ, and many have been believers for many, many years. But there may be some here this morning that haven't taken that step, that haven't come before Christ in humility, acknowledged Him as their Lord, and asked Him to forgive them of their sins. So I speak to you in particular this morning, if you're in that category. Where do you go during life's trials? Where do you turn? Where do you turn during the anxieties and the hardships of life? When you hear of these terrible shootings that are taking place out in the world, who do you turn to? Do you turn to your parents or your spouse? Do you turn to your neighbor or a friend or a coworker or a doctor? Those are all good people to go to for advice, but they're people. They're not God. They're not sovereign. They can't bring about true comfort. You see, all of those people will fail you at some point. The only person that will never fail you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. Jesus says to you this day, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." Friends, the only promise, the only comfort that we have in life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that this is true? How do we know that this promise is true? Well, as the end of our text tells us this morning, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The holy, sovereign, and perfect God of the universe, who created all things of nothing, He spoke these words, and He promises us that they are true. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the comfort that You bring all those who profess faith in You. Lord, we pray in particular that You'd be with those who are perhaps mourning this morning the loss of loved ones. Lord, we ask that You would bring them gospel comfort during this time. Lord, if there are any here this morning that do not know You, we do ask that You would work in their hearts, that You'd work faith in their hearts, that You would not give them rest until they turn to You. But Lord, we thank You most for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who selflessly sacrificed Himself so that all who believe in Him would be saved and given eternal comfort in Him. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.